Testes. 1, 2, 3.
It's
there it is. Almost
it's, time. It's, it nine, just clicked
it's
9 over. O'clock.
It's 9 o'clock. It's 9 a.m. It is 9 a.m., isn't it?
And that one, what, did we agree on a time today?
Yeah, I believe we said 9 a.m. Megan, did we say 9 a.m.?
We did Megan say 9, said, and I'm here. I'm sitting in my chair.
Yeah, I've got a chair. I'm occupying my chair.
Yeah, and yet this chair is this chair is empty.
Yeah.
Well, now this is the first edition of the video podcast.
Yeah, isn't this exciting? This room is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
we're going to have to.
And it's a little characterless. Mm-hmm. Although I'm noticing in your shot, Glenn, you see my giant belly. That's kind of cool.
Giant belly?
No, behind you.
Oh. I thought you meant like the one that you're sporting now.
No. Oh, well, that's under
flexing.
The table.
Flexing.
That's under the table. No, it's flexing.
Is this, you know, I was thinking about that. Well, first of all, I want to say that one of the things I find very funny about this is like, we're no longer allowed to talk to each other.
Right.
Because every time I start to tell you something,
yeah,
you're like, save it for the podcast. Save it for the podcast. Now, is that because we think we're that interesting?
No. I think it's that we're afraid we're going to run out of things to talk about.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. So just anything. Yeah. Just talk about anything.
For example, Charlie not being here.
A missing man. A missing man is actually very interesting.
Yes. Now, I am concerned. I am concerned for how interesting the podcast is going to be without Charlie. If you think about the show itself, if we didn't have Charlie, now don't tell him this. Well, he already knows.
No, but that's the thing. He doesn't need to hear that because
he already knows it.
It's a whole thing.
Without Charlie, the show doesn't really work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have gotten to season 15 without Charlie. Makes me think we should wait on the podcast. But no.
No. We this is the tradition. If you don't show up on time, you lose.
Yeah.
You lose. So here we go.
You snooze, you lose.
Now, let's get into it, Rob. I'm seeing a cane.
Glenn,
is that a cane?
This is a cane.
Qualifies a cane?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, this is my first day off crutches.
Uh-huh.
And I got myself in a shoe instead of a boot. Mm. I tore some ligaments. Yeah. In my foot, but I was so adamant on being on time for this podcast. I was supposed to get a ride here, and I was supposed to get picked up. And the person who was driving me was coming from the same area of town that Charlie is.
Mm.
So I think there's some pretty bad traffic, but that's no excuse because traffic in LA, how novel?
That's a given.
That's a given.
Yeah.
So he wasn't getting there on time. I texted him. I said, Where are you? I'll get there. I said, I can't risk being late for this podcast. And so Charlie actually texted us and said, hey, I might be a little bit late.
You said that won't matter.
That won't matter. I said, this text won't matter. But then after I sent it, I was still sitting in my driveway waiting for my ride. And then I thought, oh, shit, now I've thrown a gauntlet down.
That's right.
And now my foot that's all fucked up is my right foot.
That's right. It's your driving foot.
It's my driving foot.
Yeah. That's everyone's driving foot.
Yeah, well, yes, it is. so unless you...
I hope.
Well, unless you're driving automatic, then it's both, I guess. But
if you're driving what?
Or if you drive a manual, then it's both feet. Is it not?
Yeah,
that's
right. That is right.
Okay, so either way, your left foot is generally not your driving foot.
Correct.
To your point. Yeah. But I thought, now I've thrown the gauntlet down, I just got to get in the car and go.
Yeah.
So I did. And as I did, my ride was passing me by. Like, literally, we just passed each other. And I locked eyes with him, and he knew.
What a picture you guys, like, just the like, turn as you guys
He was driving so fast that, like, he almost hit me and, like, weaved out of the way.
Okay, so basically what we're learning today is you didn't want to risk being late for the podcast so that the same thing that we're doing to Charlie right now wouldn't happen to you.
Yes.
But you were willing to risk your life and Brian's life
And
to get here on time.
Yes. There was no way that I was going to be late for this podcast.
Yeah. Well,
here we are. This is the video portion.
You know, when someone has been late and I haven't been late yet, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Because I traditionally used to always be of all of us the latest.
I know.
But now we're 6 minutes in and we got to start talking about the episode, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you got some other shit to talk
about.
You
know what I think we should talk about?
What?
Is this office? When this is the video, is this our set? This is a piece of shit.
Yeah, we can't do this. We can't do this. We're going to step it up, guys.
What is this behind me? Well, there's Meg, though. Everybody can see Meg.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she hid.
Oh, she hid. Come on, Megan.
Well, she finally has a microphone, by the way.
Oh, yes. I see. I didn't see that before. Okay, that's good.
Now, to be clear, listener.
Is it on or off?
If everybody assumes that our goal in this podcast was to silence women by not giving them a microphone, you are sorely mistaken. We have been begging Meg to get on mic from day one. That's and all you can hear is her laughter in the background. Now, we feed off of her laughter.
That's true.
I might live for it at this point. But now we can actually see, well, sort of. She's sneaking behind the camera. But anyway, well, that's Meg Gans.
Can I ask you a question? So when I realized that we were filming this one, not when I realized it, but when I really thought about it, the reality of it, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I have to, like, worry about my hair.
Yeah.
You know, I got to make sure I get enough sleep because we don't have like hair and makeup. You know what I mean? It's not like a TV show where you have hair and makeup. Although maybe we should.
Well, we should consider it.
We should consider it.
By the way, people watch podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. That's
news
why we're doing
me.
This.
Yeah, news to me.
That's why we're doing this. Listener, watcher. We apologize for our faces. I apologize for my face. Rob maybe feels good about his face. I think the problem is for me, and we talked about this also on the podcast, is like, even though you guys don't see me this way, like, I feel like my eyes are... The thing is like, whenever I post anything on Instagram, mm-hmm. right, there's inevitably, like, a handful of people that are always like, whoa, you look stoned, man. And I'm like, no, God, that's just my face. That's just my eyes. Like, I just have tired-looking eyes all the time. And people are like, oh, dude, you must be stoned all the time. And I'm not. Mm. I'm not. That's just how my eyes look.
Well, I'm looking at you now, and
they're not too bad.
No, they're not too bad. I can see what you're. Yeah, I guess, but I wouldn't have thought. Oh, there he is.
There
is your water.
Oh, okay.
There he is.
Well.
This is out of control.
He just sort of strolls in whenever he feels like it.
Ooh.
It took me an hour from my kid's school to get here.
Yeah.
Unreasonable.
It's light. It's Los Angeles.
Take a good look around this office. This is the last time I'm here. We'll find a new spot.
Do you want to express your feelings right now on the podcast?
Yeah.
On camera.
It's not so much about the traffic that I'm upset with. It's knowing the joy that you guys are going to get out of beating me here.
On the first video portion of the podcast, there was an empty chair sitting there.
Yeah.
It's kind of great, though.
Yeah, sure. Fine.
It's kind of great. No, but we're the same way. But both of us risked our lives to get here on time today. Basically, Rob was talking about how, you know, Brian was supposed to pick him up and because of his ankle, he's not supposed to be driving on that
foot,
thing.
I've torn ligaments, but
Brian was running late, so he took a risk and decided to drive with a busted ankle.
Well, now we're rehashing stories that the audience has already heard.
By the way, speaking of rehashing stories,
probably pretty boring stories without me here, right? I would imagine pretty boring talking about your ankles.
They're definitely better with you here.
We discussed that.
We discussed the fact that it wasn't going to be as good without you.
Yeah, well.
And we also discussed not saying it to you because you would react that way.
Exactly.
We did it anyway. Damn it.
No, what we said was, well, he knows that already, so we don't need to rehash it.
And then
he brought
it
up himself.
I would feel the same about either one of you. It's not just a me thing. It's the chemistry of the three of us.
It's the dynamic, baby.
But I was driving over here being like, if I quit the podcast, they were like, no, we're working in this office no matter what.
Yeah. Mm. We'd keep going.
You'd still have to pay me.
We'd fit.
You would. Yeah. It'd be a whole sticky legal thing it would just make more sense to just pay me.
And it wouldn't be as much fun.
It would not be as much fun.
It definitely wouldn't be as much fun.
Jiggly ass chair. Look at this.
Yeah.
Shit.
Pretty jiggly.
This is a janky office in a janky part of town.
Rob, Apple has money. Get a good office.
We're in the Mythic Quest offices right now. Yes. I think
this is interesting for the viewer now and also the listener think that like really? Production offices or writer's offices are nice and they're not. They're pieces of shit.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
Some of them, the long-running shows, the super long-running shows like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia usually have like a set office that's like super decorated and stuff like that. We never do that. We just go from office to office and it usually looks like this. But I feel like it's appropriate for the writing of our show.
Yes. But I do enjoy, like, for example, somebody at one point had this wall painted, right?
Yeah.
And then each production came. It was probably some company that, you know, did marketing or something.
Why did they do that? What was the inspiration behind that? That's awful.
It was probably like a candle company or something, don't you think? Like, or incense or something. Can I just bring something up? Also, like, speak, because you were talking about rehashing old stories. Now, I've gotten some feedback from a few people, from a lot of people on my socials, and then very specific feedback from Heath Cullen's wife, Emma, who also has a podcast and is a very intelligent woman. Rob, her one note was
for me.
She said, "Well, it was. You know, you guys
don't eat the microphone.
You guys know it was.
He got rid of the pop card. He's gonna. Fully,
he's definitely gonna suck it at some point.
He's gonna gag on that thing.
He's gonna gag.
I love the cameras. I know it's good for the podcast, but I know.
Like, I don't either.
Makes you a little bit more self-conscious.
Maybe
we'll forget. Like,
feel more exposed.
Maybe we'll get used to it.
Is there a three shot, Meg? Oh, there is a three shot. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Anyway, Emma's note was...
Sorry, Emma's note was, you know, every time we go to tell a story that Rob has heard, mm-hmm. he points out, I've heard this story.
Yes.
And what we haven't put in the podcast is our response to that, which is, these stories aren't for you, Rob.
No.
They're for the listener who's never heard the fucking stories.
Okay, Emma.
Yeah, but...
Emma, let me point something out to you.
And she's like, why is Rob constantly
pointing
out...
Because it's hilarious that we don't remember them.
That's
which
the
is
point
totally
of it.
True.
It's
not,
me.
By the way, there was an email this morning that you remembered. God bless your brain, man. I want a little bit of whatever you got going on there.
That shit drove me crazy when I read that last night.
Well, there was an email from our manager about someone who wanted to write something about the show, and he was like, does this person have permission to legally write this? I think it was a book.
Because FX wants to ask them about it, because that's the email said. Yeah. FX wants to go and ask them and go
I
after
saw
them.
The email, read the link, I was like, I never heard of this thing. You felt the same way, and Rob's like, you guys, not only have you all heard it, there was an email about it before, and once you said that, you're absolutely right, man.
Did you go back? I don't know if you guys went back and looked for it, but I saw
no,
that change.
I didn't care. I said, Rob remembers. That means it's a fact.
The point is this. I recognize that the stories are for the listener.
Okay.
But the way that you're telling, oftentimes you're telling
the
stories.
Yes, because we know how to present a story. And the story is like, oh, you guys, I got to tell you this, right? Not like.
Not me. I straight up don't remember.
You guys already know this. Let me talk.
I have
We're
no
talking
recollection.
To each other. We're talking to each other in the podcast, you fucking...
I recognize that, but the thing that I find amazing is that you are hearing it for the first time in the moment.
You know what an actor does? He pretends
We're
that he's
acting.
Hearing something for the
We're
first
not
time.
Acting. This
he's...
is real life.
And you think this isn't a performance?
Part of the... Depending, listening back to them, sometimes it is a performance for you sometimes. Sometimes it's real life, and sometimes
it's
your on
If that camera's rolling
Mars.
And that mic is hot, I'm performing. Okay, just
the
know
thing
this.
I don't like
know
about
this.
The camera is I feel like Spielberg is going to be too shy to pop in because of the cameras. Some
no,
of our callers aren't going to call
oh, I
in.
See.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. We can always cut to black when he walks in.
Yeah. Just, well, because you know what? He doesn't feel comfortable being recorded.
Is that
right?
True?
He so, loves being behind the camera. Not
yeah,
so
well,
much
clearly.
So if he walks in, we cut to black, right? We hear
his
voice.
We'll figure it out.
I definitely don't want to lose him because he works around here and he likes swinging by every once in a while. And I definitely don't want him to feel uncomfortable swinging by because he's Steven Spielberg. You want to have him on the show.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And, yes. He wants to come on the show, but we got to make sure the door's open.
Same thing with Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? He's going to walk into the podcast because he has an open invitation to join the pod anytime he wants, and we don't want him feeling like, oh, I'm not in full hair and makeup, I haven't frosted my tips or whatever he's doing with his hair this week. You know, by the way, can we talk about this? Why is it I can see pictures of Brad Pitt with super short hair, right, and then the next week he can have long hair and a ponytail?
What's going on? It might be.
Pictures can be taken
be,
at different
yeah,
times.
The thing about pictures.
No. I brought this up.
No,
once.
I saw this
Is
picture.
Is he holding a newspaper up with the date on it?
Buddy, how long do you think it would take you to grow your hair to the point where you could have a real ponytail? Not a little nubbin, but an actual ponytail.
Am I Brad Pitt?
35
In this scenario, you are.
The man could do anything.
Yeah.
You're saying Brad Pitt is so awesome that he can grow his hair at a rate.
Has he ever let you down?
If anyone could, come on.
Brad Pitt. Yeah. Well, shoot.
Also,
I don't know if I should
tell
this.
Are those pictures from a movie? Like, you know, like maybe one is him out at lunch and then he's doing a movie where he has long hair. So they have like an extension in or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't know about these photos.
Somebody told me once that he was on a red carpet with Brad Pitt where he had a ponytail. and the ponytail fell off.
Get out!
That's
not
a lie.
That's a lie.
This was somebody who was actually there.
Brad down a peg, and I won't.
It's like he takes his hat off. It's got the Rasta dreads, you know, like sewed into the back.
Come on, get the
turn that around. You're the one asking about. There you go.
Sorry,
we're on camera now.
What is that?
It's just coffee. It's cold brew. I like cold brew.
It looks green.
It looks green.
Does it look green? We'll hold it up to the camera.
Oh, you know what? God, you guys. My kids sometimes use these glasses and they put their paints in it and stuff. Oh, shit.
That's very un you.
What? Do you think that might be it?
Well, it's green.
Well, we wash them. They're kid safe paints.
You're fine.
You're fine. It's just interesting.
Live on the edge for once.
I mean, your character drinks paint all the time.
Yeah.
But that's a character.
And it's not really paint.
And he'd be dead if he were a real person.
I don't know.
Should we talk about the episode The Gang Runs for Office?
I'm excited Charlie's here. I think the podcast is better with Charlie.
I think it's fine that he's here. I think it's fine.
I'd say it's definitely better.
I love you.
Now you definitely flinched. You did not.
Yeah,
like
I didn't
that.
Want you to do that. It wasn't passive-aggressive.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it was. It was a bit. That wasn't a genuine.
I can feel the tenseness
in your arm. He doesn't like to be touched.
It was a combination of a bit.
I don't trust people.
Okay, all right. Let's get into that.
Where's that hand going to go?
Where's that hand headed?
You going to try to give me a noogie?
Oh, no.
Good luck, man.
Good luck, bro.
Good luck, dude.
I don't want to take that shit
anymore.
Go ahead
and try.
Cut that. Now, can we talk about the episode?
Well, yes.
You want to keep stalling. Should we do it?
Can I admit something to you?
Oh, God. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to make this about me. So here's the thing.
You forgot to watch it.
No, I didn't forget. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take full responsibility because I thought maybe I could just lie and just pretend and go along with it. But then I thought, man, I gave Charlie so much shit for being late, and I knew I was going to, and we did. And now I feel really guilty, and I'm just going to be dead honest with you. I didn't watch the episode. And it's not because I didn't want to, but I have a million reasons, they're just going to sound like excuses.
It kind of blows this whole thing, man. Like, why did I drive through an hour of traffic to talk about, I guess we'll talk about other stuff? Or maybe Glenn and I can refresh your memory. You have a perfect memory anyway. You probably remember every aspect of it anyway.
Why don't we call Emma? Why don't we have Emma come talk to us? Maybe she could give me some notes on how I should approach the podcast.
Mm-hmm. What she doesn't want you doing is like when somebody starts to tell an interesting story, basically shutting them down.
Yes, and you're saying.
Yes, and not.
Instead of.
Not, right, yeah. No, why? You know, the old improv thing is, yeah, it's yes and, not no, why are you?
not on our show. Our show is not a yes and show. True. It's that a is... no fuck you.
That is true.
Yeah, well, also,
I actually remember Charlie very early on, maybe season one. I've never taken an improv class, and I remember like trying to keep up with the improv. And for some reason, my instinct would be like season one, Charlie would say something really funny, and I'd be like, "No, you didn't really do that," or "No, that didn't really happen," or whatever. And I remember you pulling me aside and being like, "Hey, man, just like FYI, like you kind of got to go with it, because if you say no, then like the scene stops."
Right.
And I was like, "Oh, fuck, he's right again."
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna start doing that. And apparently that's like a basic tenet of
yes and.
Yes and. Yeah. Of course.
A lot of people maybe don't know this.
So let's what?
I said of course. I don't remember that at all.
But a lot of people don't know this, but like I never took an improv class either, but like I think that is the number one rule in improv is that you're supposed to, you know, take whatever, because improv, you know, you don't know what the other person's going to say. Like,
the second you stop it and say no, the whole thing ends.
Right. So you got to say yes and build. So the idea is to build upon what the other person's imagination.
Speaking of, there's a good segue actually into this episode that we should talk about. And I think probably it's a really funny episode. There's a ton of funny stuff.
There's some stuff
that we didn't continue doing, like where we stay with the union guys and they're like, you know, they call us nerds, or we kind of end with the cops being somewhat heightened, you know, where they like looking in the camera and they say like, that's politics, bitch, that happens.
Yeah.
But the improv that Glenn is doing where he's reading my speech, I don't know if you recall this, but the props guy, whoever it was, I don't remember who was that season, but, and it might not have been the head props person, it might have just been like the props guy's assistant, wrote just something on a piece of paper, like a bad speech The joke was that you just couldn't read it. It didn't make sense. There was no actual reading of it that we scripted. And it's so damn funny what he wrote and your reaction to it, that it's a good example of yes and, where it's like, I don't know, you just have to be looking for those moments and then just run with them, right?
Well, because it wasn't scripted. I believe as scripted, it was you saying, just read the speech I wrote, and me saying, I'm not going to read the speech.
Yes.
And then the scene, I think, just ended with that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing
it. Something like that.
I'm not reading this. It doesn't make any sense. And then I think we just did one where it was like, and basically, I mean, a lot of the words that I say were written on that piece of paper. It's just that it was a more coherent speech. It was a bad speech, but it was coherent, and I made it as incoherent as possible. It's weird though that people find that so funny, because I've never found that funny. I've never really understood why.
It's not the words so much as your reaction to them. You're the fact that you're reading. You can't believe that you're reading such bad.
I just remember very distinctly the speech ending with, and so do.
Yeah.
Is that the final line?
But there's no end. It's just so do.
So do.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was and so do as well, but I think maybe the blooper is and so do. And what's in the cut?
I also remember being behind the monitors for that, and Charlie is laughing hysterically. Yeah.
He's laughing in the episode.
We didn't have any other option.
Sometimes I laugh.
Well, Glenn, we've established that you are the host of the show. What should we do next?
Well, this is a little awkward, or maybe it isn't. I don't know. I always write notes on my phone when I watch the episode, right? Like if I have questions I want to ask you guys or things I want to talk about or whatever. It looks like I'm just looking at my phone in the video. But, you know, just know, listener, watcher, you fucking creep, that when I'm looking at my phone.
That's great. Just insult the audience. Apparently half the audience watches a podcast.
Okay.
And you've just called them all creeps.
Cool. I did have a question for you guys. Did you guys have garbage pail kids when you were kids?
Yes. Yeah. There was one specific kid who turned me on to them, and he lived like alone with his dad, and his dad was a fisherman, so he was on the water all the time. So basically this kid was just like on his own.
It's just with his garbage pail kids.
Yeah, and he had a bunch of really good shit, because I think it's one of those situations where like the dad feels bad that like he's just never there and the mom's not in the picture, so he's just like, here's like that like Redman the robot. He had that robot.
Oh, he had friends. Those were his friends.
Yeah.
The garbage pail kids and the robot were his friends.
Yeah, yeah, oh. Yeah. And he had garbage pail kids. And he turned me on to the garbage pail kids. And I was like, these are the greatest thing ever. Yeah. For like a month.
Yes.
And then you're like, yeah, I'm over them. The gum's real dry.
Yeah.
You know? Was there gum? I never had any. I had friends who had them, but I never got them myself. But I did enjoy them.
It's just like a real dry, sometimes flaky gum. Mm. Falls apart.
Like in the baseball card?
Yeah, like the baseball card.
I was definitely into them. I love them.
Did you have a collection of them?
We were all in the sweet spot. Yeah.
We were in the sweet spot, weren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I collected baseball cards too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you ever get any good ones?
Yeah, but then, you know, that was some bullshit. Like where you'd get the magazine and it would tell you how much each card was worth.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, all right, I got the Ken Griffey rookie card and I'm going to, it says it's worth $20. I'm going to go to the store and they're going to give me $20 for it because it says that's what it's worth in the book. And then you go to the comic books store and they'd be like, I'll give you.
No, he's like, that's what we sell it for.
Yeah. That's what we sell it for.
Pawn shop rates.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that is what eventually like collapsed that entire market, because people were like, well, fuck it. If you're not, you're selling it to me for that, but you're not buying it back.
Right.
And then that was it. Until recently when it came back.
Did it come back?
Oh, yeah.
I got myself Ricky Henderson rookie.
Nice.
Ooh. Traded it.
No,
Carl traded it. My buddy Carl traded it to me for a couple things.
We discussed this before, but sorry.
Ricky was my favorite player. He was my favorite player. Yeah. I just said we discussed this before.
No, but that's
acknowledging that we've discussed it before.
Yeah, and by the way, do your thing. I don't even worry about it.
Ricky Henderson, thanks for your permission, Dad. Ricky Henderson, little known fact, Ricky Henderson, or maybe this is a widely known fact, I don't know, speaks of himself in the third person.
Mm-hmm.
So Ricky does this and Ricky does that. Yeah. Ricky doesn't do this. Mm-hmm. Ricky does that. Ricky wants that. Ricky will be there. Ricky's
what is
here.
That? Is that when you become so like famous or popular or loved that you also start separating yourself from, like separating your persona from the real you, and so you start referring to yourself in the third person.
Yeah, when you have the stolen bass record, you're like, normal things don't apply to me anymore. I gotta heighten this, you know?
Yeah.
So Ricky gonna start doing this, and Ricky gonna start doing that. I used to have dreams that, like, I would be like at the park, and like Ricky would show up and be like, "Hey, you want to have a catch?" I'm like, "Yeah, man." I was really into him. I had a giant poster. He was my guy.
I always hated baseball.
I have a good baseball card story. Rob, are you going to shut it down or should I tell it?
Rob, did you want to shut it down or are you going to take the note?
It's really a stolen bike story. And like most of my stories, not a good story. It's going to fizzle out at a certain point. But my buddy Chris, I got a new bike. It was a Redline. And which was like a cool BMX bike. I put it together myself.
That was the brand? Redline?
Yeah, Redline. I built it.
It wasn't like a Mongoose Redline.
No, the brand was Redline, yeah.
I don't remember that. Okay.
They were like, I got it out of a BMX magazine. I like sent away for it. I put all the parts together and I built the thing, which I didn't build shit, but I built this.
Did you have pegs on the back?
I had some pegs on the back, of course.
All right.
And so I'm at my buddy's house and one of my friends, Chris, he's like, "Hey, can I take your bike to the baseball card store?" I'm like, "Yeah, go ahead, man." Hops on my bike, goes to the baseball card store, comes back. "Hey, dude, bad news. Somebody stole your bike." And I was like, "I think we saw them. They like were around the corner. So we got a machete out of like his garage or my garage. I can't remember where we got the machete, but we got a machete. I got my machete. And I'm like, 11, 12, on the back of like some other kid's bike on the pegs, rode down to the baseball card store, got off looking for the kids, and then got a little nervous that the cops would see me with a machete. So I buried the machete in some leaves so I could find the kids, and then I don't know what the plan was, then go get the machete. But, nothing happened, man. I didn't get the bike's gone forever. Hey, if you stole a Redline bicycle in on Broadway, right outside the baseball card store and
fess up.
Newport, Rhode Island in probably like 1989,
88. Wow.
There's a machete waiting for you.
There's a machete waiting for you, buddy.
Yeah, that's
right. I
will
hack you to bits.
Have you guys gotten this comment on your social media where people are like, "Oh, the show's gotten too political. I used to love this show, but it got too political." Well, it's always been political. It's not that we take a particular stance on anything. As a matter of fact, we try not to. We try to kind of skewer both sides of any argument. But the show's always dealt with politics. I mean, it's always, always, always. And so for those people who are like, "It's getting too political. It used to not be political." Well, this whole episode's about politics.
Is this the episode where we say, "Who am I going to vote for? Republican blasting me in the ass?" It's all one big ass blast.
Yeah.
That holds up. This still feels the same. Although I don't think people feel the same. I think people are more dug. We could talk about politics. We could actually talk about politics.
There's other podcasts for that. There's other podcasts. Yeah. Glenn, as host, what's next?
Well, I also feel like the host should be like, there's not, where's my water, Glenn?
Oh, well, the host doesn't bring you. You don't go to Kimmel and he presents water for you.
I think Kimmel would be very embarrassed if there was no water for me.
Well, that's okay.
He would be humiliated.
But he wouldn't be the one to bring it.
Why don't you bring? I brought my water. Well, actually,
well, he brought
your water.
There's only so many hands I had coming in. I had to rely on you. Rely on other people.
Yeah. I got a question for you, actually, that occurred to me. Yes. So there's the scene. Yes.
Yes. Go.
There's a scene in the back office where you pull me in the back office and you try to talk me into... Do you know where I'm going with this?
I liked the scene. I don't know where you're going with it, but I liked it a lot.
So you're trying to talk me into firing Frank as the... By the way, I do love in this episode also, let me point out, that like how quick... It's such a rapid... It's just rapid fire betrayal. You know what I mean? Like literally people get betrayed. Like there's like seven betrayals in 20 minutes. It's really quite extraordinary. But... You're trying to talk me into firing Frank as my campaign manager and hiring you as my campaign manager. And you went into this way of speaking in this rhythm and everything. And if I'm not mistaken, at the time, I remember you telling me that it was sort of inspired by, it was like a not a direct imitation of, but inspired by Jack Lemmon's performance as Shelley the Machine Levine in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah,
am I correct? Like, am I remembering that correctly?
That, like, desperate, like, come on, man, I gotta eat. I gotta eat, you know? I'm older than you. Like, you
I'm older,
He's got lots of little threats.
Yeah. By the way, threats. For those of you who have not seen Glengarry Glen Ross, I believe it came out in 1992. Amazing film. Great play, but, like, they made a film, and it's incredible.
What other feedback did you get?
What do you mean? Just in general?
Yeah. I don't read a lot. I am pretty good about not reading a lot of comments on the internet.
I like it.
That it's not healthy for me.
I'm able to take the good and the bad. I will say that probably if it was a preponderance of bad feedback, I probably would stop. But most of it's good. So the occasional bad feedback, I actually really enjoy. I think it's really funny. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Sure. So you can learn a little.
I can learn a little bit from it.
Did you think Emma was right?
Yes.
Mm.
And I did.
Half right.
But you
half
understand. Right. Now hold on a second. Let's relitigate this for a second.
There was one particular episode she's probably commenting on where it did seem really interesting. Whatever I think probably you were going to say, and you shut it down. But it's funny.
You've told us this story. You've told us this. And I don't know why I didn't say this in the moment, but I'm like, it's not, I'm not telling you. I'm acting like I'm telling you.
Totally.
Thank you, Megan.
You did say, these aren't for you.
Oh, yeah. I did say it. Yeah, I did say it. Okay.
Well, yeah, no, you've already said that. Okay. So you've already done this very thing.
Emma's note is your note. Emma's note is your note. It's not a good note.
It's
a good note. It is a good note.
It's not that I don't want to hear the story again. I think it's fun to watch.
I get it.
Yes. Not remember things. Our brains deteriorate.
The way it is presented could be misconstrued as you saying, you don't need to tell this story because I've heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be misconstrued that way. Although I agree, I don't think that is your intention. An example of, Rob's tendency to not yes and, but to know why.
Yep.
No, why? did you guys notice? You didn't because you didn't watch the episode. But Charlie, did you notice that you still had the Hitler's German Shepherd painting in your apartment?
Oh no, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of fun. When did we lose that? After season two? I think what happened was we took
a lot of people were commenting. Was it like distracting?
No, we felt like it was distracting.
We were in the editing room, and it was in the background of every shot.
It was driving us nuts.
It's so distracting. Yeah. This stupid German Shepherd painting. So we took it down. I think after season two or maybe three. I think we.
Yeah.
You know, but good on us for like remembering that when we did the.
And then we wrote a whole thing for it in like season eight.
I remember your story. I'm thinking of your story.
Kill the Holocaust? Hitler's been ridiculous. I do like episodes where I get to do some kind of heightened thing. Like this one, like the Shelley Machine Levine or that, or the one where I get smart and I have the cane. I don't know why.
Yeah.
More of that. That's fun. But if it was that all the time, it would get old.
It'd be goofy. It'd be too goofy. But it is fun.
We have an ability to make them all feel different. Which is cool. That's not like the same heightened character over and over and over.
That's
again,
true.
Which is cool.
That's true. You never know where it comes from, you know.
I've seen
stretching. I'm stretching.
In this episode, so we talked about this before, but I can't remember if it made the podcast cut.
Okay.
And that was that. As I recall, the first scene we ever shot with Danny DeVito was you and Danny in the parking garage. You guys disagreed and said that it was something else. But let me throw this out there. I do remember that the first scene that Caitlin ever shot with Danny was the scene right before they go into the comptroller's office to try and solicit a bribe, using trying to, suss her up. And I think the first scene they ever shot together, that Caitlin Olsen and Danny DeVito ever shot together, was the scene where he's... where she says she's stuffed in, she feels like she's stuffed in there like a jerk or whatever.
That might be right. Yeah, that feels right.
Which
would mean that we shot that in the, hey, my brain's working here. Mm-hmm. We shot that at LA Center Studios.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So I think the parking garage was the LA Center Studios parking garage.
Correct.
So it is possible.
But
so was probably the hospital set that we shot, which is the scene that Rob and I think
that's
was
that's in the lobby.
Which one is
of
that?
The LA Center Studios on like floor two or three. And we also reshot that scene.
We did.
Yes,
so
one of the few things we've reshot. We've reshot a couple things, but it's rare.
We thought that was an important one.
Oh, shit, right. That was the one that you said was, I don't know, maybe. But I do, here's why I think the parking garage scene was the first one. And if it wasn't the first, it was one of the first scenes we ever shot with Danny. Is because I distinctly remember filming that scene and not being in the scene and being behind the, you know, the monitors and thinking that I had a note to give to Danny and thinking, I feel like this, you know, I'm this like kid in his 20s, like giving film legend Danny DeVito a note.
Yeah, how do you give him a note?
How do you give film legend Danny DeVito a note? Like, and I didn't know him that well at that point. You know, at that point he was just like the weird guy who told the teeth and, you know.
And it's funny, like
teeth and watches story.
He's both super open to a note or whatever, totally. But depending on who from.
Well, that's
like
the thing.
He likes a note from the three of us. He's fine. He's mm-hmm. like, yeah, whatever. I'll try this, try that. But sometimes a guest director tries to give Danny a note and it's like, ooh, no.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
It's a test. He's got to know that what you're going to give him is going to make it better or have the potential to make it better. Like, and he's now learned after years of working with us that, you know, it's a good note. It's worth trying.
I remember FX not loving this episode. I remember I remember specific feedback, which they were like, you know, it's good enough, obviously, and we're not going to like not air it, but we don't love this direction for the show. I don't remember specifically why, but I do remember that. But you know,
maybe because it's very sort of plot driven. It's not I mean, it reveals character, right? Because it reveals, like, you know, you're like my vanity, you know. I do love.
Or maybe it's the same thing that we picked up on, which eventually we were like, it doesn't quite feel right to stay with the ancillary characters.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe it was that. Who knows?
We were still finding it. I mean.
Yeah, I think it probably just felt sillier in some way, too. Because, instead of the world being crazy, we were presenting characters that were right extreme, and the world was, we were kind of stuck in the normal world. And then once you start building that kind of stuff out, then it seems like the world is crazy
yeah,
and it seems like more Looney Tunes.
Right.
But then in season three, which we'll get to, we got bonkers.
Oh,
but
yeah,
even
we
then
went.
The characters were the ones that were bonkers, not the outside world.
We went a little nutty nuts in season three, but we'll it was a lot of fun. But I do say, like, I did really enjoy one thing that I think we do continue to do, which I love, is we go very quickly from like, ooh, one of us should run for office to solicit a bribe, very quickly to like, oh no, I think I could actually win this. to very quickly, you know, starting to betray each other, but more interestingly enough, like focusing on totally the wrong things. You know what I mean? Who gets to use the clipboard? Like, you know what I mean? Like you being like, I'm the campaign manager, I get the clipboard. You being like, give me the clipboard. And then
that's like the thing you said about the show becoming about the limes. Mm-hmm. Like it became about the clipboard. Like,
yeah. And for me, it's about the blazer, right? Do I get to wear a blazer for this? Just being excited to wear a blazer and like being almost entirely focused on the fit of the blazer, you know, more than, you know, soliciting a bribe or actually win. It's like, you know, and I do, that is something that we have continued on the show that I very much enjoyed.
There's a funny
focusing on the wrong thing.
Funny sound thing that we did, Rob, you won't remember this because you didn't watch the episode, but where you're trying to stop a baby carriage. You want Glenn to kiss this baby. You're in a mall and you should watch it.
It's good. It's funny.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty good. And this woman's like, no, thanks. I don't think I want this guy to kiss the baby. And you keep stopping
carriage?
Mm-hmm.
Stroller.
Stroller, yeah. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Stopping the stroller with your foot.
Pram.
And each time we're adding a nice little, you know.
Yeah, we added a sound effect of your foot like stopping it each time because there was no sound in the thing. And we found it very funny. Like you were doing this funny, like little foot turn thing, which was very amusing.
And it works. We get, you know, we got to.
That was the scene where I'm doing George Bush hands.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Those are really good.
George Bush hands.
Bill Clinton did that too.
That's the thing. This used to be the way that we communicated with the public.
It's unoffensive.
I'm not going to put my finger, but I'll point the tip of my thumb at you. Yeah.
That's not a.
That's no good.
That's no good.
This is strong.
For the people who aren't watching on the video, this, when you're saying this, it's like a little thumbs up, but not a full thumbs up.
Right,
right.
It's just like a little pointed thumb that's the top of your fist.
It's not a point.
No.
It's not a fist.
No. No, right? You want to emphasize the fist. The thumb makes the fist makes, okay. The tip of that thumb says, "I'm not scared of this fist."
And it's
took that thumb in, and man, you're just pointing a fist at me, and you're saying, right. "Oh, I don't know."
That was you. I mean, so you know that like that was like a curated gesture.
Yes,
that was somebody. Somebody said like, "I want to be
workshopped."
Able to...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Somebody was like doing a lot of this, and they were like, uh-huh. "Well, this feels like you're out of control, mm-hmm. right? This feels like you're angry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is too accusatory." Mm-hmm. But if you just do,
like, if you just do the tip of your thumb there,
this has been studied scientifically. If you just do
and
the
don't
tip.
Say guys, you gotta say folks. Say folks. That's that applies folks. To everyone. That's safe. Don't that's say right. guys and girls and just the tip of your thumb there, just a little. See now that's too much thumb. That's a thumbs up. Okay, get it.
Can't give yourself a thumbs
get
up.
Get that thumb in. Okay, you're getting it too high again, there, Bill. It was Bill, right? Who went it first?
I believe Clinton was the one I remember.
Do you think he stole it from Bob Dole because Bob Dole had had like a palsied hand, yeah. right?
But he always had a pen in it.
Yeah,
yeah. He stuck a pen in there so it looked like he was doing this on purpose.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah he wanted
and then,
it. Yeah,
you know, Bill was like, "Well, gee whiz, that's pretty sweet. He's got that pen in there." And they're like, "Bill, you can't also have a pen." He's like, "He's got a pen. I should have a pen." And so, what about the tip of your thumb there? Maybe that's
what
it was.
What if you're doing that, but you don't have a pen?
You have an invisible pen. That's what it is. Two invisible pens in your hand.
That's the direction.
This is how we'll communicate with the public. Two invisible pens.
Well, what do I do with my dick?
Where do I put my dick?
We would prefer you keep that to yourself. Oh, impossible.
Then why did I become president?
Just purely impossible.
Why did I become president?
I became president.
You make a fair point, Mr. President.
So why did I become president?
If you could just keep it in your pants to 4 to 8 years. 4 to 8 years? You keep your dick in your pants 4 to 8 years. I'd like to see you try that. Okay, well.
Well, we're all doing it, sir.
Oh, my God.
Well, you have the president. That's true. Yeah.
Another unscripted moment in this episode was you smashing the videotape at the end.
Oh,
And also like the head thing
we're doing.
I don't remember I don't remember how that started, but I think it was just in that one take, and it was very funny to me.
I found it very funny when you just go back to reading your paper and you just say like, yeah, because I'm not doing it or whatever, very casually.
Yeah, so casual. Yeah. Like as casual as could be, like basically telling you that like I'm not doing it anymore, and I don't care that it's ruining your life and that you lost your stupid garbage.
The episode works, you know, it holds up.
It's funny.
I'd be happy for anyone to see that and not embarrassed by it or anything.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen it, so I won't comment on that. I believe this podcast episode's been fun.
Listen, I think you have to watch it.
Okay.
Because I do think part of getting to the end of this is that we have all rewatched every single episode we've done. And sort of analyze them. And even if we're not discussing it live in this thing, just watch it, because I don't, you know, we get to the end of it, we're like, well, we watched some of them, not all of them.
100%.
Rob, you're getting a lot of good feedback from us today about your
this
performance.
This positive feedback.
About your performance on the podcast and sort of what's expected of you.
Okay.
Are you taking it in?
The question is, am I
going to
implement this?
Are you going to implement it? Are you open to this feedback? Do you feel as though you're being dictated to? Because I know you like to be in charge, and sometimes, you know, you're not.
Okay, so what's the question?
Are you accepting our
feedback? Glenn, try it with your thumb.
Oh, sorry. Are you able to take this feedback and accept it?
How do those thumbs make you feel?
No, why?